Hello and welcome to episode 197 of the Veg Grower Podcast. My name's Richard. This week I'm in an allotment site in Oxfordshire. And I'm here because I am meeting a young lady called Annabelle who runs Life at Number 27, which is a blog you may well have heard of. She's done a great many number of amazing feats in her short time gardening, shall we say? But you hear all about that once I find her. I'm assuming she's going to be on plot number 27 because that's where the name comes from, of course. So while I find her anyway, let's see what I have been doing in my garden and allotment down in Littlehampton. And then we'll see what the Garden Days calendar suggests to do for this next week. Well, today is Friday, the 30th of November, the last day in November. And I've just popped down to the allotment today to have a bit of a look around. And I ran a hoe over across a few of the beds that were empty just to feel like I'm doing something. However, at the moment, these dark evenings are really playing havoc with what I can and can't do. And it's really, really annoying. I'm kind of missing my garden time, really. These dark evenings aren't going to last forever. We'll soon be getting some warmer weather again, which I'm really looking forward to. Lighter evenings, of course. And that means I can get some gardening done. The wet weather at the moment is also not helping. It's rained all week, so everything's become really muddy and boggy. In fact, I don't think I can now get the van down to my allotment plot because it's so wet and muddy. Instead, I'm going to have to park at the entrance and walk up. That's not a huge problem, unless I'm bringing anything heavy down, such as manure, which I was I wanted to get done before the end of November. I didn't get done. So I'm going to have to rethink on that. Never mind, these things are sent to test us. Now, I'm just going to make a little footnote or something I've noticed at home. Because, every morning I go and let my chickens out, and every night I pack them away. Just in front of their run, I've laid some slabs down, but as the chickens kind of peck over the soil and toss it up everywhere, it's made it very, very muddy over there. And several times this week in the morning when I've gone out to deal with them, I've slipped in the mud because it's so wet. That's kind of a lesson I'm going to have to think about how to deal with. The door needs to be able to open, so I can't put a solid barrier up to stop them flicking mud. Unless I put it on the inside, that's an idea. What goes on when I talk on the podcasts. Things enter my head as another option. So yeah, that might work. Okay, so I've got a busy weekend ahead of me. How am I going to manage any gardening? Let's find out. Well, this is Sunday, the 2nd of December. Can't believe we're into December already, and I've just got back. It's quite dark outside. I was saying just the other day how annoying I'm getting with the fact that it's so dark early and I can't do anything. It's also wet, rainy, which is causing real problems. But it occurred to me, actually, there's still things I can do. Last year, I did a podcast on things to do in the shed or when it rains, and that mostly featured on being in the shed. Well, I've got several sheds and I've got the greenhouse, so I could actually still be working in here instead of doing nothing. And that's what I'm doing tonight. I've just came into my greenhouse. I've given everything a bit of a water in here. Everything's looking really nice and cosy in here. My banana plant's still growing. Dahlias I've pot in here. They're not technically edible, these ones, but there are edible varieties that I plan to grow next year. It's actually quite warm in here with this compost heap that I've put in here. I haven't got a thermometer in here at the moment. The batteries have gone. I should really see how warm it stays in here, but actually it's pretty cold outside. In here it's fairly nice and toasty. A couple of weeks ago I planted some kale in here, and it was a bit late to plant the kale, I'll be honest. But actually, I'm looking at it right now, and it's not doing too bad. Probably could do with some sort of lighting to boost up the daylight light to promote growth. But otherwise, no, it's not doing bad. I reckon we'll be able to pick some leaves off this soon from in here. So that's actually really, really cool. Now I'm going to head into my shed shortly and do a bit of tidying up in there. All these little things that I could be doing. Also slowly going through my seed packets at home. I've got these indoors now, just because I wanted to go through them. And I have hundreds of packets of seeds. hundreds. Some are going out of date, so I'm throwing those away. Don't need them, so slinging them. Then, well, once all the ones that are out of date are out the way, I'm going to see what I have left. I'll try and list what I have. I tried this last year, but I'm really not very good at making lists and keeping track of them. I keep saying I'm going to get better at lists, and it just doesn't work for me. I need some sort of system that does work, and I cannot figure out how to do that for the life of me. But yes, I think that's all I'm going to be doing today. Well, today is Monday, the 3rd of December, 2018, and this is obviously the day the podcast will come out. And I forgot to mention that in the intro. If you're used to hearing that, that's why. What have I done today? Well, I popped down the allotment this afternoon while it was still light and just ran the hoe through the bed. I needed some fresh air more than anything. I'm missing my allotment because I haven't been there so much over the last couple of weeks because I've been busy with so many other things. Work's busy and so on. Hopefully that will change this weekend, and this weekend I will spend some time down there. But anyway, when I came home, I let my chickens out of the coop, so they had plenty of space to run around. And while they were doing that, I went into my greenhouse and gave everything another good watering. It's incredibly warm in there at the moment. I'm very surprised how warm it is. But due to the compost heap I've basically put in there, I think it's definitely working. It's really surprising. I'm really pleased with it. I've moved my tray of broad beans outside from the greenhouse now. Just getting those hardened off because I want to plant them out this weekend. Now, they are growing really, really tall. They are a good 6 inches, 15 centimetres tall in some cases, which I'm really, really pleased with. So I've got to get those in the ground this weekend. The peas, however, that were sown at the same time and are still in the potting shed, the germination has been crap on those. I don't know if it's bad seeds. The variety was Meteor, so they should be pretty good. But yeah, I'm really disappointed with the peas. I've just written up this week's weekly harvest report and had a look at what I've harvested this week. And it's pretty low again, only worth just over £8. We've had chard and kale, as well as the chicken eggs and herbs and things, as we always need. That is, of course, found on the blog if you want to check that out. But yes, it's a little low, but I have realised I've still got a lot of things that are waiting to be harvested. I'm just not rushing to harvest them. These are things like cabbages, cauliflowers, Jerusalem artichokes, potatoes, lots and lots of potatoes still, actually. So yeah, things are looking good. Well, this kind of wraps up the diary section for this week. So let's have a look at what the Garden Days calendar suggests to do for this forthcoming week. So this week in the Garden Days calendar, it suggests to do: evergreen shrubs make unusual standards or topiary specimens and give structure all year round. Easily trained shrubs include box, eunomus, holly and yew. Prune lightly but regularly, and once the shape has been created, maintain it by trimming twice yearly, once in spring after fresh growth and again in late summer. Why that suggests to do that in the 3rd of December when it's talking about trimming in spring and late summer, I don't know, but hey, that's what it says to do. I don't really have anything to add to that this week, but there is only a few weeks left of 2019 and a few weeks left on that calendar. I've been hunting around for calendar for 2019. I've got and I found one that covers each month. Whether that's going to be the one I use, I don't know. I would prefer a weekly one, and I don't really want to use a Garden Days calendar again. But let's see what you guys think out there. Do I stick with Garden Days or do I find another one? And if there is another one, tell me what it is and where it's available. Ideally, I would like it to have weekly tasks like I've been reading out on every podcast this year. Well, I found plot number 27. There's a shed open and here she is. Hello, Annabelle.
Hello.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Now, I've mentioned that you run Life at Number 27 blog, which is how most people know you. So, but there may be people who don't know you. Can you just give yourself a bit of a talk up and who you are?
Of course, and try and big myself up a bit. So yes, I launched a blog just over 3 years ago called Life at Number 27 in the aim to try and change the stereotype of allotmenteers, because I got every old lady joke that you can imagine, and it was not seen as a cool thing for someone in their 20s to have an allotment. So I wanted to try and change that, but also give other young people somebody that they could relate to, because other than Katie, I couldn't find anyone else that I could relate to at the time. So I thought, what if I can give someone else that person they can relate to, and so they feel a bit more, not normal, I suppose, but feel like it's more acceptable to talk about it and be proud about it. So that was one of the main reasons. And then also to inspire other people to grow their own, because it really helped with my life. So I thought, what if it can help other people's and maybe spread that message? So yeah, started it as a blog 3 years ago.
Yeah, and it's been very successful for you. I saw you on Gardener's World Live stage and I was so pleased, because I've been following your blog since you started. But seeing you on stage, it was an absolute delight. How was that for you?
It was a dream come true. That's the only way I can describe it. It was very surreal, especially the first time I did it, because it was always a dream for me. The dream was, I've always had two dreams, and that was, one was to inspire people to grow your own, so in the hope that it would help change their life. And then two was always the crazy wild dream, was to step on stage at Gardener's World Live, because to me, it's one of the biggest platforms to help change people's lives. And so when that happened, and I was stood there 3 years after I'd started the blog, and I'd grown it from the blog to the YouTube channel to the radio show and then to the speaking, it was just the most surreal moment. But I think you just have to take it and grab it and just remember that I'm there for a reason, and to try and help people and take any nerves I've got, put them back in my mind, and just go up there and do my thing.
Yes, excellent. Now, obviously, you've got this wonderful allotment plot and there's plenty going on, actually. But how's your journey been throughout the 3 years on this plot?
Interesting, actually. I think it's probably the best way to describe it, because when I got it, it was waist high with weeds and I didn't have a clue where any of the weeds were, and I didn't know what I was doing. I'd grown stuff in containers before, but I'd never dealt with anything this size or outside of a container that's, I suppose, is controlled. You can control it a bit more. And so when I got it, I just sort of stood there and stared at it and looked a bit clueless, I think, as what to do. So that's why I launched the blog, because I thought I can write about it. I don't actually know what I'm going to do with it. And then I started researching it and speaking to different people and trying to get different, just learning advice on how to deal with it. But actually, what I learned was you have to do things your way, because everyone's going to have different advice. And actually, that works whether you've been doing it for 2 minutes or 50 years. Everyone's going to have different advice that they should give you. And it's taking it all on board, but then working it down to actually what works based on your lifestyle, your situation, your soil, all of that, and I'm doing that. So I've learned a lot around the soil, because my allotment is, so it's 7.5 meters wide by 20 meters long. And even in those different spaces, there's different soil conditions. So one part is really heavy clay and it was horrible that first year. I hated that bit. But then other bits were absolutely fine. So it's understanding that and then adapting what you grow. So like where the clay environment was, the first year I grew potatoes because I'd read that that helps break the soil up. So I thought, right, I'm going to stick them in the worst place possible where the soil needs the most amount of help. And it's just, yeah, you learn different things. And then sometimes you can think, right, I'm on top of it all. And then like it can take a week away and you suddenly think, oh, and you can feel a bit more overwhelmed by it. But it's just understanding, I suppose, and taking it and doing what you can when you can. So if it's 30 minutes after in an evening, then doing that. Or if it's a weekend, or you can get a whole day in at the weekend. To me, that's like a big party. I'm like, yes, come on. And I'll get the cake and I'll get everything up here. And then other times, yeah, it's just making it work for you. And so you don't lose the enthusiasm as well, I suppose. I think if you think you've got to be up all the time, every day, you can soon get a bit much and you might end up giving it up or just seeing it as another job. And I always get frustrated when things are always called jobs, because I think you've always got enough jobs in your life, whether it's washing up, all the house jobs. So everything you should do on the allotment shouldn't be a job. It should be a task or part of the learning process. So yeah, it's getting that more across and just adapting it and learning as you go, really. But yeah, it's just constant learning, which I love. So
what has been your favorite experience on the allotment?
Oh, that is a very good question. I think I think it's just that process of growing stuff, but on a mass scale. Because I remember when I grew stuff in containers, and you never get over that first initial time when you grow a seed and then you harvest it and it's turned into produce and you've done it. To me, that is the best feeling ever. And it's the thing that changed me as a person and changed my outlook on myself and what I could achieve in my life. So when I could do it on a mass scale on this allotment, and all of a sudden you've got things popping up left, right and center that you sowed like a few months ago, and then you can eat it. I think it's just that gets me every time, that I find really enjoyable and find interesting and learning. And then potatoes, I suppose. I love growing potatoes. It's one of my things, and I get a bit sad about it, but they're always my favourite thing to grow. So that always keeps me excited about it, I suppose.
Because you also grew sweet potatoes this year as well. And they looked really, really good when I saw your photo on Instagram. Did you enjoy them?
I did. I've still got to eat. I've still got more I need to eat. And there's still more I need to harvest. It looks like a weed jungle. That's the one bit which looks like weed jungle at the moment. But there is sweet potatoes under the ground. But I think I always try, and every year I set myself a challenge to grow something new. Because it just keeps it exciting. It challenges me. It challenges the soil up here. And I actually learn more from the soil and the allotment and how it's working and how it's doing. And so, yeah, sweet potatoes was my thing this year, which actually expanded my whole thing with potatoes even more, because they work the same way. For me, it's like a treasure hunt, which is why I love them, because you don't know what you're going to get and you have to dig them up and it's just a big surprise. Whereas everything else is more colourful and it's more beautiful, but you can see it. Whereas the treasure hunt, there is that surprise at the end of just not knowing, which I quite like. And that's the same with sweet potatoes. And they look completely different to a normal potato and how a normal potato grows. But they did, yeah, they did really well. I think the heat we were lucky with this year, but trying to give them enough water was really tricky. And I don't know if I did that. I didn't get as much growth as I would have liked, but I think that's just the reality of growing them in these conditions, sort of outside in the UK. It is pot luck, but yeah, I think it's getting that balance of heat and water right. But I'm considering, I've never grown them before, and it was a challenge. I'm really pleased with how they did, actually. So, yeah, bad with them.
Yeah, I mean, I've grown sweet potatoes this year. I was impressed with them, considering how dry it was. So I completely, completely understand your point there. Should we have a walk around your allotment and just talk about it through as we walk around?
Yes, definitely. Let's do that.
So at the moment, we are in your shed, which is right at the bottom of your allotment. And it's a lovely little shed. Well, I say little. It's how big?
So it's about, if you take into account the shed conservatory, because that's the only way I've measured it, it's 3x3.
Right, yeah.
So it's probably about 3x1.5, the actual shed. But yeah, it's my little place. I tried to make it into like a she shed. It's what you call, just trying to make it pretty, I suppose. But it's sort of half pretty, half shed. Half practical, covered in soil and every other thing you can imagine. But then, yeah, there's picture frames, and it's trying to just add a girly touch to it. Not that I'm a girly person at all.
It's a female version of a man cave.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, I've got the bunting. Yeah. I've got a little bit of my inspirational sort of signs, because I love a bit of, I'm a cliche for an inspirational picture or quote. So, yeah, it's trying to bring that into it. But, yeah, just give me my little hideaway when I'm up here, and I can keep warm that way. So,
yeah. Let's step outside. Straight away, I can see you've got a lovely looking olive tree and a nice looking veg drug. What have you been growing in there?
Yes, so the olive tree is an extra addition that I moved here. And actually, it's done not too bad this year. I think that was, again, because of the heat. Yeah. And then I've got the trug, which actually I had before I got the allotment. And now I had loads of containers, but it just wasn't enough. So my nan went halves in it as a Christmas present for me. And I was so excited. And I always grow salad in it, because it's less chance of anything getting to it in there. So yeah, it's always salad and just different salad crops, really, or radishes and leaves and things like that. So it does well.
Excellent. There's a few pots just around here of herbs and various things.
Yes. Yep. I've got thyme, which is one of my absolute favourites, and that grows pretty much all year round. I love it. And then it's pretty much mint central, because I'm just the crazy mint lady. So it's all mint, pretty much.
Excellent. I love the birdhouse.
Thank you. It's a bit skew-iff. But no, my dad made it for me to have it up here. And it's just trying, yeah, bring a bit more of the wildlife over. And yeah, it just adds a bit of character and personality, I suppose, to what I'm trying to do up here.
Just down here, some lovely looking chard.
Yes. It's done really well, actually. And I did rainbow chard last year, so that was a lot more colourful, whereas this year it's more of the more yellow and green variety. But it's done really well, and it's still growing now. So the aim is... So this year I always wanted to do year-round growing. That was my big aim. And so far I'm doing all right, because it's still there. So, yes, I'll be harvesting some more of that later.
Excellent, excellent. I'm loving it. It's... I mean, the great thing about... I said this earlier to you. When we're on an allotment site, there's a feeling... that you get on every single allotment site I ever walk on. It just feels like a welcoming place. And it's really good, that feeling here. How have you found it on your site with everyone?
It's my hideaway. It's my tranquil space. And sometimes we have a football pitch that backs onto it and a rugby pitch. So sometimes you get that. But even still, it's that place where you can just... relax, and you have the birds, and I can just hide away from whatever's going on. If it was the stress from uni or stress from work, I can, that all just fades. And there's just this level of peace and calm, I think, as you said, that you get with any allotment site, where you just think, ah, and you can just enjoy it and embrace the actual fresh air and what life is actually about, instead of technology and everything else that now takes over.
Because talking of peace and tranquility, you've suffered with anxiety in the past, and you found allotmenteering to be a really big help to you, haven't you? And could you just expand on that a bit? Because I feel anxiety is, I want to say used so common, but nobody really can realise how debilitating it really is. Is it possible to get a bit more on that?
Yeah, of course. I think the Grow Your Own massively helped with my anxiety. So when I was... 21, my anxiety was that bad I couldn't leave my front door. So I suffered with an ear infection, which it's a really common ear infection that people can have, like, it just happens. And normally it's supposed to, like, just go after a while and then you can just return back to normality. But I didn't have that. I had it, and it just, for some reason, I didn't go out of the house for such a long period, it turned into this thing where I couldn't leave the house then, because I was in fear of what would happen if I did leave. And with mental health, I think, unless you've been through it, it's very hard to understand. And people around me at the time didn't understand it. They were like, well, just go out. Just go do it. Like, and I was like, I can't, because your head creates these thoughts in your head that they're just there. There's nothing you can do about it. They're just there as to why you can't go out. And people are like, well, it's just like, you just go out. And I'm like, no, because you don't understand what's going on in my head. And you can try and explain it, but you can't. And I think what the allotment gave me was... something that I made me believe in myself again. And even when I started growing in containers, because that's what I did first before I got the allotment. And it was that thing of growing something from a seed into a produce that I could harvest, that suddenly made me realise, if I can do this, what else can I do? And I always now, with the allotment, think, if I'd had the allotment when I was really bad at 21... it would have eased my recovery a lot more, whereas I had to go through doctors and group therapy, which didn't work, and then come up with my own coping mechanisms and basically push myself outdoors and force myself. And it was horrific what I had to do, because there was no other way. The doctors couldn't help, or what they were suggesting didn't work. So I just went, all right, well, they're not going to help me, I'll do it by myself. But it was really hard, and I had to do it the brutal way. Whereas I think, actually, if you can get an allotment, it gives you that middle ground, which is what this is for me now. Even though I'm a lot better than what I was, this is my middle ground. So if I'm anxious, if I'm stressed, then I come here and I get lost in whatever I'm doing, just because of the environment and the feeling you get and around an allotment space. But also, you're getting that produce out of it, and it constantly picks you up again, because you think, right, okay, well, I've managed to grow this. That's incredible. And like, so what else can I do? And it pushes you again to think, oh, maybe I'll grow something else, or completely off the allotment, or maybe I'll apply for this job, or maybe I'll apply for that, because I managed to do that. That's pretty insane, to grow from a seed that looks like nothing. Like, I could do anything. It sounds a bit cliche, but that's what I try and say, is that you could do anything if you can do that. Just push it a little bit in different places and see how much your life can expand by just pushing it, having that confidence in yourself. So yeah, I think it helps massively with anything, sort of a level of anxiety, no matter where it comes from or the background of it can help.
Well, I can see the enthusiasm in your voice as you're talking about that, and I've seen that before. And I think I said to you, I've suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder in the past, and gardening was one of those tools that I have found so useful to get me over that. And that's why you're now an ambassador for a charity. explain a bit on that?
Yes. So I am very proudly an ambassador for the National Gardening Charity called Thrive. So hopefully a lot of people will know about them. If they don't, they're based, they have three bases in Reading, Battersea, so London, and then Birmingham. But they're all, it's all around using gardening as a therapy tool for people with mental or physical health. So for me, obviously, with my story, my background, and the way gardening has helped me, for me, it was a dream when they asked me to become an ambassador. Because if I had known about them when I was really bad, I'd have gone to them, but I didn't. So this is now a dream to be able to, yeah, to be an ambassador for them and share that story and try and drive the message across a lot more and up and down the country, I suppose.
Yes, well, I'm hoping all our listeners will go check out Thrive. And yes. Well, let's have a walk further along your allotment now. Now, there's clearly strawberries down here.
Yes, there is a whole bed of strawberries and weeds in between, I'm not going to lie. But yes, there is around 25 strawberry plants roughly dotted in this space. And then they just obviously then reroute themselves as they do. But yeah, this is my massive strawberry bed. And then I've got my wildlife pond next to it, which is literally, I got a toy container and dug a hole and stuck it in the ground because it doesn't need to be anything fancy. And I always try and bring a bit of wildlife in, one, because it actually helps with the allotment and it brings wildlife in, so it helps with the pollination, and it also brings the frogs in, which help with the slugs and everything else, and keeps that on top. But I just like to add it in, and yeah, it's literally a toy container stuck in the stuck in the soil, but it works.
I've heard people using washing up bowls, so it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you've obviously got some wooden raised beds here as well. Were these wood blocks, are they? Or?
No, they're not. So they were another company that, I don't know if they still do them, but they were literally slot together. So they're really easy. And the aim was, I was just trying to create some new spaces. So originally I was thinking I could do like a whole place, one of them was going to be all around tea and different herbs that you can tea, but it's not really worked. Now I just use them for different things and roots, because sometimes roots grow better in a more of a raised bed environment, but actually they grow the same. I found they grow whether in a raised bed or just straight in the soil in a normal sort of environment. But yeah, it's just extra spaces to try and challenge it and break it up a bit and test the soil, really.
Fantastic. Now, right at the very end here, you've got some awesome looking purple sprouting broccoli. I mean, these are 3 foot high?
Yeah. I am so proud of them. They are the most, I don't think I've ever been as proud of anything on this allotment as these. And I think it is because of the size. So I grew purple sprouting broccoli last year and it was nowhere near this big. Whereas this is, yeah, it's got to be at least 3 foot. And they're not even sprouting yet because they won't sprout for a couple of months. But yeah, I'm very proud of these. And if these keep going alongside my kale I've got and the cabbage, then I'm going to nail all year round growing, which is going to cause a little bit of a party, I think, because I'm quite proud of that.
Can I come to the party?
Of course you can.
Yay. So yeah, I mean, the kale, what do you know the variety of that kale? Because I've never seen anything like that. It looks like a leafy cabbage is the only way I can describe it. It's green on the outside, whiter in the middle. It's such a beautiful looking thing.
Yeah, I think it is literally like a white kale. I need to check the actual one, but I think it's pretty much called a white kale. And then there's a very small black kale. But I just wanted to, yeah, expand the all-year-round growing and try and find things that were very hardy and that would work. And they seem to be standing up to the weather that we've had so far alongside the cabbage collards as well. So I'm really, yeah, fingers crossed they will do well. But yeah, I'm still to harvest and test them out properly.
Great stuff, great stuff. And then over here, some raspberries.
Yes, so I've got my autumn raspberries that are still not chopped back down to the ground yet. Which I will be doing, but at the moment, yeah, they've take up quite a bit of a space. I suppose it's about a metre by 3 metres roughly in space, that luckily I was given from a neighbour, my next plot neighbour, who gave them to me when I first started, so that I had something that I could put in the ground, which I always think is really lovely. And actually, you'll find if you're new to allotments that if you speak to your neighbours, whilst you're getting a lot of opinions, you'll also get people that are like, will give you extra stuff in the spring to maybe give you that boost. And actually I think it really helps if you can give something to somebody that's just starting out. It gives them that one thing that, again, even if the rest looks a mess, they've got this one thing that's growing that they can enjoy and focus on. So yeah, they were my first thing that I had in, and they're in there, this will be their fourth year next year, so they're sort of, this year was really good, so yeah, just got to keep on growing them now. And but I really love them, so.
Excellent. Should we go into the shed and have a cup of tea? Because you have another project that I want to talk about as well.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
That's a lovely cup of tea you've made there. Thank you. So you've got a new project that you've got up and coming. So tell us a bit about that, please.
Yes. So obviously I've developed the blog as into what it has become over the last 3 years in terms of speaking at events and everything else. And that's enabled me very much to grow as a person. It's enabled me to spread my message a lot wider. So in terms of sort of help inspiring more people, sharing my story, getting people talking about mental health a lot more, and also sharing how much gardening and Grow Your Own in particular can really help with your mental health. And now what I've always wanted to do is sort of take it to the next level, especially given, I suppose, the opportunity I've got, and turn it into a non-profit organisation. So actually take it completely up to the next level for what I want to do and create an organisation that brings gardening and mental health to the forefront and gives everybody access. And really what it comes down to is creating a therapy option that I didn't have at 21 that I truly believe would have helped ease my recovery and helped me get better a lot quicker if I'd had the option. And so it's creating that therapy option. Is I go based on my experiences, what I know helped for me. Also, I've been very lucky to work with some great psychiatrists and psychotherapists that have actually helped me with my recovery that I've talked about quite publicly now, to create a program that I know will work. So the plan is to roll it out locally where I am and then expand it over the next 3 years. So it'll be UK wide so that people can access there's three therapy options and they can access no matter where they are through either self-referral, which I think is a big thing, because it just makes it a lot more accessible. Because some people, if you're struggling with mental health, and if you are, then you'll know if you're listening, you might not want to go speak to a doctor about it because you automatically feel you're going to be judged. You might not want to go to a psychiatrist, or actually to go to one is very difficult without being referred. So that means you've got to have another conversation. You've got to talk about it. Whereas sometimes if you can know, you can go direct and you're going to talk to someone that understands and has been through maybe not always the same mental health experience, but they've been through something similar that you can automatically relate to that person. And so that's what I wanted to make sure. It's definitely through self-referral, but also through GP and psychiatric referral. So it gives other people that third option that they don't want to do tablets, or they do, but it's an extra additional early intervention. Because I think some people, they go and it's too far, and the gardening on its own won't help. They need the psychotherapy, or they need more in-depth treatment. But some people actually, if you can get the help early enough, it will help so many people and save the government a hell of a lot of money as well. So it's trying to create that. So that's the aim over the next, that's my biggest focus now, is all around launching the nonprofit and raising awareness about it, getting fundraising for it, and expanding it from there, and just creating a program where people of all ages, so younger children, especially after meeting the younger people at the shows that have said, are people my age going to be able to do it? And you have to, there's no two ways about it. You have to create a program that will work for children, but also for adults, and then also for people in their more senior ages, so like dementia patients and people like that. So it's making sure there's a program for everybody that will work either way. So that's now what I'm focusing on.
Yeah, so I mean, I think I've said to you before, my cousin committed suicide last year through depression, and that was through his epilepsy that he had. I've found out since he loved his gardening, and I think that was the one thing that stopped him from committing suicide a lot earlier. And I genuinely do believe in what you're saying. The gardening can help so many people, and I've said it so many times. So what can I do to help you with your project?
I think it's just about people being on board. Just giving me the time, like today, means everything to me, because it enables me to hopefully reach, even if it's just one or two people, even if one of you listening can relate to it, or you're stuck in a place and you don't know what to do, then hopefully this will then help that one person think, oh, like, they get it. There is someone that's like me, because actually it's 1 in 4 people at least. And actually I don't think that stat's right, because that's people that are willing to actually say I'm struggling. So actually I think it's a lot higher than that, which terrifies me every day. And everyone around me goes, but you can't help everybody. And I'm like, yes I can. But it's just giving that someone that they can go, okay, I'm not on my own, because you do think you're on your own if you're around people. So yeah, it's just giving me the time to share what I'm doing, hopefully send people to the website ideally, and just get the message across that this is going to be there. I do need fundraising, because the aim is to be able to quit my day job that I do full time, and do it full time, because obviously you can't run a non-profit organisation in the evenings and weekends, because I need to be there for the people that need the support. So at the moment, I'm plugging for fundraising. I've been very lucky that I've got 3 brands on board that will be announced very shortly. One coming up very soon, which I've said I'm going to share with you as an exclusive, which is very, very cool. So hopefully people will get involved in that. But yeah, it's just around spreading the message, getting it out there and getting people on board. There's also a GoFundMe link, because a lot of people I've spoken to said, we don't have the money to sponsor you or to give you like thousands of pounds, but we want to help in some way. So they said, can you set up a GoFundMe? And originally I was a bit quite shy about it, because I thought, well, I can't really do that. And then everyone kept saying it. So I've set one up. So if people want to go into the GoFundMe and have a look, then that would be amazing. And if they can share anything, that would be even better. Even if you just share the GoFundMe page, or if you can donate, that would be amazing. It seems to be it's friends and family or smaller nurseries and different things like that that have donated so far. But yeah, it's just spreading the word, really.
So what's the website address and the GoFundMe address?
Yeah, so the website address is www.lifeno27.com. So that's where all the information is. And then the GoFundMe is Life at Number 27, non-profit organisation, I think is what it is. But there's a link on the website and also in my monthly newsletter, which I've just started doing, so it's in the second month now. So if you subscribe to the website, you'll automatically get the monthly newsletter, which has got regular updates on all of the non-profit and the organization, how it's going, how it's expanding, and all the latest news from that and the rest of everything else that I'm doing as well.
Well, I'll add links to the show notes anyway, so if you want to find out that, head to my website and find them. You've mentioned there is an exclusive. Come on, let's hear it.
So I'm beyond delighted, because yeah, it's very exciting. So Chiltern Seeds, they won't mind me saying, because it will be out very shortly, have produced a collection of seeds that are Life at Number 27 and Chiltern Seeds put together. The 50p of every packet of seeds sold will go to Life at Number 27, the non-profit organisation, and they're all easy to grow veg, which we've made sure they are, to stick with my ethos and making sure they're accessible for everybody. So there's a carrot, a beetroot, peas, rocket, and then another. And it's just, yeah, so that's what there is. So you can order the catalogue now on their website, and it will be out very soon. So it's coming out. The aim is they'll be shipping that just before Christmas, so very shortly. And then, yeah, any 50p of every of those 5 packets sold will go towards Life at Number 27. So if you're thinking, if you're sitting down and it's grey and miserable outside, and you're thinking of this is the time you're going to sit there and start scrolling through your seed catalogues, then maybe just have a think about ordering the Chiltern one and having a look, or going on the website. And if you can, you're going to grow them anyway, or you want to help, then order those 5, and it would mean the world to me and to them, I'm sure, as well. So yeah, beyond delighted to have that partnership with Chiltern Seeds, especially because they're literally down the road from me as well.
I'll tell you what I do. If any of my listeners out there, I'd limit it to 5. They go and sign up to your blog and support, contact me, and I'll send you 5 of these Chiltern Seeds to 5 people, just to show some support, because I can see you're about to cry. I'm going to have to give you a big hug. Thank you so much for today. It's been fantastic. Hope to come and have you on the show again and chat more. How's it been for you?
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming. It's just great. I just love being able to show you the actual, my little baby, as I call it, and my haven. And actually, yeah, this is what started everything. This space changed my life in so many ways. And so it's great to be able to open up to people that environment. And it's not perfect. You've seen today, it's not picture perfect. It's reality. There's weeds and there's stuff that's growing. And it's just being able to share that with other people. And you get what it's, you get it, you get how it helps, and you get what you get out of it. So it's great to be able to share that with other people and share that enthusiasm and just get excited together and a little bit giddy. It's good.
Thank you so much, Annabelle.
Thank you.
What a lovely girl Annabelle is. I have a lot of time for her. She's a real inspiration, such enthusiasm and such passion. It's so enthralling to see. I spent a long time chatting to Annabelle. I probably overstayed my welcome, but I couldn't help it. It's just something about her personality that is just so, it's just so lovely. Big thank you to Annabelle for all that. I really appreciate it. Really want thank you for everything that you do with your Life at Number 27 charity work as well. Now, I mentioned during that interview about the seed competition. Now, what I'm going to do, I'll elaborate this on a bit more. Between now and the 30th of December 2018, so New Year's Eve, anybody that says to me they have signed up at Life at Number 27 to show some support, tell me. I'm going to take this on faith, but I think I know you're all trustworthy for this. Tell me you've signed up at Life at Number 27, shown us some support, and I will put your name into a hat. On New Year's Day, five people will be picked out of that hat. Those five people will win five packets of the Chiltern seeds that Annabelle mentioned. So I will be buying six packets of each variety under the Life at Number 27 brand out of my own pocket. The money will go to charity, and I'm very happy for that. You will get each variety of seed for your own collection and to grow over the next year. So please, please, please do that. Well, before I wrap up, I have to mention this week's seed competition winner. Now, each week, anybody that contacts me through either the blog at theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk, through the Facebook group or page, Instagram, Twitter, any of those, share this podcast as well and you'll get entered. You may win a packet of seeds. Anybody that does that, your name goes into a hat. This week it goes to Stephen. Well done, Stephen. I'll be sending those out to you. I've got your address, so no worries about that. Now, I've been saying for a few weeks, I'm so behind with these sort of things. Been saying for a few weeks I'm sending them out. I've done it today, so your seeds are on the way if you've been waiting for them. I really do apologise if you have been waiting. I've just been so snowed under that I'm finally catching up. That is it for this week, so thank you very much for listening. Please take care, and I'll see you all again next time.